And thank you, Donna, so much. It's good to be here today. Would you take your Bibles and turn to the book of 1 Corinthians, please? 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to begin a new series today entitled, Who's Your One? Who's Your One? I'll explain that as we go along today. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 and 7. Those of you who mark your Bibles will notice that I have used this as a text on a couple of different occasions over the last few years. I wanted to begin using it again today as we think about who's your one. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we're going to just read two verses. Paul's letter to the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 and 7. Paul tells us, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. God who gives the increase. Join me once again as we pray. Father, I ask you during this time, during this holy, sacred time, that you would speak to our hearts and challenge us from your word. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for this congregation. Please, please speak to us now. In Jesus' name, amen. Who's your one? This is an emphasis that other Southern Baptist churches throughout the country have been going through for the last few weeks and few months, and I felt like very much led that we need to, as a church, undertake this journey as well. Who's your one? Who is that person in your orb, in your life, in your sphere of influence who needs Jesus? Who is that one person in your life? Perhaps that person that you work with. Maybe it's someone in your family. Maybe it is someone in your neighborhood, someone that you recreate with, that you are out and you do things with. Well, who is that person in your life that needs the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, if you're like me, you'll probably understand and know that when you begin to think, you'll find that there are more than just one. There are actually several. But I want to ask you today, who is that one person? Who is that person that needs a relationship with Christ, that needs the church? Who's your one? And I pray today that if you don't have someone in your heart, that by the end of our time together and throughout this week, God will lay someone on your heart. If we can just open up our eyes and see, we will indeed find that Jesus' words are true. The fields are white unto harvest, but the laborers are few. Therefore, we are to pray to that the Lord would send people into the harvest. But there's something underlying this little study that we're going to undertake, this emphasis that we're going to have as we begin this new church year. There's something underneath that we need to always keep in mind. And here it is, church family, members of Volunteer Baptist Church. It is all of our responsibility to reach out into the community. It is everyone's responsibility, those who name the name of Jesus, those who are part of the body of Christ, it is all of our responsibility to reach out. It is not something that is reserved just for the pastor or just for the deacon ministry or just for the select few. No, we are all called to reach out into our community to reach those who are far from God. When Jesus gave the Great Commission in the book of Matthew chapter 28, he wasn't simply talking to Peter and to James and to those who were around them, Thomas. He wasn't simply talking to the apostles and to the disciples. He was speaking there to a group of about 100 people, men and women, many of them whose names we do not know. But they were given the command as well to go into the world and to baptize and to teach and to make disciples. It wasn't simply the apostles or the disciples. And in the same way, in the book of Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, where Jesus called us and told us that we shall be witnesses, once again, that call was not given simply to Peter and to James and to John and to those disciples and apostles that we know. It was given once again to a larger group of people. In other words, it's all of our responsibility. It is all of our responsibility. God may not have called you to preach or to teach, But it is everyone's responsibility in the body of Christ to be reaching out. All of us. So let's think about that as the underlying premises. And then let's try to answer the question today, who's your one? Paul here is answering some questions from the church at Corinth. He is reminding them that it's all about Jesus. It's not about Paul. It's not about Apollos. It's not about Peter. It is all about Jesus. It's all about to the praise and the honor and the glory of God. But in the midst of that, we see here a blueprint. A path that we can follow to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. A path, a blueprint that he has laid out for us here in the Holy Scriptures. Some of you may have heard this before, but perhaps for some of you this will be brand new. But let us simply follow the path that Paul gives here today in thinking about who's your one. And the first thing I'll say is this. We are called first to plant for harvest. We are called to plant for the harvest. Paul said in verse number 6, I planted the seed. I planted, he said. We are all called to plant the seed of the gospel into the lives who are those who are far from God. We are all called to do that. Now, what do we mean by planting the seed and planting for the harvest? What do we mean by that particularly? Well, we're talking about the idea of sharing with people what Christ has done for them, of reminding them of their sinfulness and of the coming judgment, but reminding them that Jesus was judged in our place. Jesus was judged in our stead. We're to plant the seed. We are to sow the seed of the gospel into the lives of those who are around us. We are to plant for harvest. We are to plant the Word of God into the lives of those who are unchurched and of those who are far from God. Now, how do we do that particularly here? We do certain things here at our church to try to plant the seed. We obviously make a huge emphasis on inviting people to church. As a matter of fact, that is one of our emphasis and that is one of the responsibilities, one of the expectations that we have for church members, is that we'll simply invite because that is still the most effective way. Most people in our community today who are out of the church, they're still open to an invitation, especially from someone who's acquainted with them, someone that they at least somewhat know. Most people, as many as 75 to 80%, are open to an invitation to the church. We also send out letters and different things to new movers who come in. We have a lady who heads up that part of the ministry. Whenever someone moves into the area here, we get the names and we get the addresses and we try to send them letters and things of that nature. We certainly find different prospects from our VBS and from our upper ministry, and we're thankful for that. We have a Facebook page that we use to reach out. Almost 200 people have liked our Facebook page, and I'm sorry to be looking down here. I don't want to miss something here, but I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. We have different things as far as our email newsletter. We're trying to reach out. We have about 100 people that receive that every week, and we try to make use of that. We have a website and things that God has used to bring people to our church. We try to do as many different things as we can possibly do to simply get the word out. To get the word out about our church and, more importantly, about the Lord Jesus Christ. But what we're going to emphasize in this Who's Your One is what we've already talked about, the personal invite. It is powerful, my friends. There is something powerful about one human being just stepping out and inviting someone to church. It is truly life-changing. Lives have been changed as a result of that. Now, I know that is not necessarily the same thing as sharing a gospel message or sharing the plan of salvation, but it's a good first step that we can all do. And once again, if we will open our hearts and our minds, we'll find this. You and I know people. There are people out there who need the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we willing to plant the seed? You understand the analogy here as far as planting and harvesting. What does the scripture tell us about that? It tells us first that we always harvest in proportion to how we plant or to how much we plant. If we want to see a great harvest, we have to plant much. If we only want to see a small harvest, we only have to plant smallly. You understand that, right? And so the implication here is that the seed of God would be taken and would be spread. And yes, sometimes that seed is going to land on a heart that is hardened. Sometimes that seed is going to land on the crowded hearts. Sometimes that seed is going to land upon the heart of someone who loves the world more than they love the things of God. But man, every now and again, Jesus said, that seed will be planted and it will bring forth a harvest. Let me ask you something. Church family, Volunteer Baptist Church member, are you willing to plant the seed?
Amen.
Are you willing to plant the seed? Plant for harvest. Number two, prepare for harvest. We willing to plant, and are we willing to prepare ourselves? Are we willing to plant the seed? I planted and Apollos watered, the Bible says. Now, sometimes you and I will have the opportunity to make the first impression, to plant the seed. But other times, God will use us to come along beside and to water the seed. Now, think about this in your life. Those of you who are believers in Christ, I would imagine that you're a lot like me. You didn't receive Jesus. You weren't saved the first time you heard the good news. No, it probably took hearing it again and again and again from different people. It probably took hearing it again and again from different sources, from different people, in a different context, until one day you were awakened, you were regenerated, awakened to the need of a Savior, and then you trusted Christ. And so some have been given the call to plant. Occasionally we'll get to plant, but we've also been given the call to prepare for the harvest, to water. Those of you who have gardens, you know it's important that it gets water, that the crops get the water at just the right time. If they don't get the water at certain stages, they'll never break forth from the ground. So you and I are called to water, to prepare for harvest. Now, what are some specific things that we can do? Well, first, we need to prepare our hearts. We need to prepare our hearts for people who are different from us. If we are really serious about reaching people far from God, then we need to understand about something about people who are far from God. They're probably not going to think like we think. They're probably not going to understand things as we understand them. Now, not that we are perfect. I'm not suggesting that for one moment. We're all sinners who need grace. But those who have never heard the message, those who have not been engrossed in the Christian culture or within the church, they're not going to understand things like you and I understand them. They're probably not in the beginning going to believe like we believe. They're probably not going to vote like we vote either. But do we love people enough to welcome them here into our congregation? Do we love people enough? I'm not suggesting that we throw away the Word of God or that we accept everything. That's not what I'm saying. But here we're going to learn today and over the next few weeks is that Jesus met people right where they were.
Amen.
Whether it was the woman at the well, whether it was the blind beggar, whether it was the woman who was taken in adultery, whether it was the one over here who was the leper who was unclean and who was cast out, Jesus met people right where they were. And maybe this is the reason our churches aren't growing. We want people to kind of clean up before they come in. Instead of just coming in and hearing the gospel message, are we ready for that? That people that may not look like us, people that may not understand and think like we think, do we love them enough, realizing that they are a creature made in the image of God who need Jesus? Do we understand that there is a heaven and yes, there is a hell, and those who are unprepared to meet God will be spending eternity in hell forever? Do we love people enough to put up with the differences? We need to prepare our heart. We need to prepare our church. A few months ago, I stood before you and asked, if God were to send us an increase to harvest, are we ready for it? Are we ready for the increase? Are we ready for the harvest? And I'm thankful God has begun to stir in some of your hearts here to be ready. And I think we're making progress. We're not there yet, but I think we're making progress. And God is stirring and He's preparing us for the harvest. But we also need to prepare our witness. We need to prepare ourselves and our witness. What is our witness like? Because if we're going to invite people to church, all of a sudden that's going to put a little more of a microscope on us and on our walk with Christ and on what we say we believe. And so if we're not seeking to live what we say we believe, then we're what? What did Jesus call those people? Hypocrites. And so we need to prepare our witness. We need to make sure that while we cannot be perfect, that we're trying, that we're seeking to be obedient to God. How dare we say, God bless us, God grow our church, if we're not willing to live according to the principles that God has given us? That won't work, my friends. If we're living in ways that are contrary to the Word of God, if we are being disobedient to the Word of God, we can't expect much of a harvest. Praise God and be thankful, but we are to plant for harvest. We are to prepare for harvest. Number three, we are to pray for harvest. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Now we're to plant the seed as often as we can. We are to prepare our hearts, our church, our people, our witness. But ultimately then we are to pray. Why? Because if there is going to be a harvest, God is going to bring it. Amen. If there is going to be a harvest, God is the one that is going to bring the harvest to us. I can't conjure it up, and you can't either. We can't work it up. This is a supernatural, sovereign act of God when God brings the increase, when God makes things grow. So it's time to begin to pray. Now we need to pray for all of our different situations, and I know that there is much to pray for across our church family, but we need to pray for harvest. We need to pray that God would send laborers into the field. We need to pray. Why? Because God is the only one that can do this. Jesus is the one that said, I will build my church. We need to pray for harvest. And we need to pray intently. We need to pray supremely, understanding and knowing that it is only God that brings the harvest. It's amazing to think about, isn't it? We understand so much today, but there's still so much that we don't understand. On the one hand, we seem to understand much, but on the other hand, there's still much mystery to life. And one of the things that there is mystery is sometimes the seeds that are planted. It's amazing. Sometimes they're planted and they will come forth and just spring forth and bring forth a marvelous harvest. But other seeds can be planted in the same garden, in the same row, in the same line, and those seeds will die in the ground and they won't produce anything. Why? You know what? We don't really know why. We might have understood a little bit about the science and about the botany and the biology and all those things, but we really don't know why some seeds bring forth a great harvest and why some seeds never do. The only thing we can say is this: God is the one that makes the seed grow. That's really all that we can say. It is God that makes the seed grow. All we can do is prepare ourselves and plant for harvest. People want to have a foolproof plan for growth. And you look on the internet now, there are people offering for $99.95 and $299.95, all these plans for growth. But listen, my friends, the scripture tells us here that God is the one who gives the increase. So we pray, we plant, we prepare. And then ultimately, we praise God for harvest. When God does bring the harvest, we are to praise Him. So neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. God is the one that gives the increase. We are to offer Him the praise for the increase. My point in mentioning this today is this. When we say we want to see God increase us and God give us a harvest, we're doing so not to try to lift up the name of Volunteer Baptist Church or anything of that nature. We're not trying to lift up individuals. Our purpose is that Jesus would be glorified. Neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God gives the increase. Amen. The point is that God will be glorified in us. That God will be lifted up. That the name of Jesus will be lifted high and lifted up. That the name of Jesus will be made famous. That the name of Jesus will go forth. That's the point of all this. That's why He saved us and prepared us for good works. So that we may praise Him. That we may glorify Him. That we may lift Him up. That is the reason that we were created in the first place. To bring glory and honor to God. And so when God gives the increase, we give Him praise.
Amen.
understanding that it all comes from Him. It all comes from Him. So plant, prepare, pray, and praise. Now, practically speaking, how is this going to work? Let's go to the last slide. Here's what I want to ask you to do, church family. All members of Volunteer Baptist Church, if you're a guest, if you're not a member, I mean, this is, you know, take this how you will. But I think we need to begin to look and think about and discover those who are unchurched. Now, I use the word unchurched here very strategically. We're talking about people who are not currently involved in a church. We're not looking to go out and poach people from different churches. If God leads you here, that is wonderful, but that's not really our aim and our goal here. We need to know and understand that right now in Sullivan County, in Bristol, in this area today, probably within a 5-mile radius of our church, there are more than enough people to fill up this church several times over who are not in church today. There are people all around us who need Jesus. And so we want to encourage and strengthen those who are unchurched, those who are lost. That's what we're pursuing. I want to be very careful how I say that. Because in any given day, we know and understand, you drive past them. There are people today in your neighborhood you drove past and you know they're at home. Because some of them are out mowing their yard or some of them are out doing different things. You know that they're there. And you know they need Jesus. So we're going to discover someone who's unchurched. So who in your life? Who do you know that needs Jesus? There's got to be someone. I have my one. I have several ones. But I have one in particular for this particular campaign. Emphasis, I should say. Discover the unchurched. Who among us needs Jesus? Who do we know? Who in our family? Who in our workplaces? Who in our schools? Who needs Jesus? We need to begin to discover people and understand that eternity is a very, very long time. And that what we do with Christ here in this life determines our eternity. So discover someone. May the Spirit of God lay someone upon our hearts. Discover those who are far from God. Think and just ask God to lay one person on your heart. And then we're going to commit to pray for them every day over these next 6-7 weeks. And I want to encourage you to really pray for them. I want to encourage you to really lift up their name before the throne each and every day. Take 3 to 5 minutes. You don't have to spend hours. Just a few minutes each day and lift up that person before the throne. Because so many people need Jesus. But they don't know they need Jesus. So many people, their eyes have been closed. They have been deceived by the evil one. And sometimes that heart is so hardened that they don't even know and understand just how desperate their situation is. Just like perhaps we didn't understand just how desperate our situation was. We need to pray for the Spirit of God to bring conviction upon hearts. John tells us here that it's the Spirit that draws them. No one can come into the Father unless the Spirit draws him. We need to pray for people. We need to pray for the unchurched. We need to pray realizing that eternities are at stake. That lives are truly at stake. May we gather and sense the urgency. It is time to pray. As you pray for your church family, as you pray for your family, as you pray for your own needs, those are good and those are wonderful things. But let's not just leave it there. We need to pray for the unchurched. We're going to do that in our church family here. We're going to end our next several services here on Sunday with a special prayer for those who are lost, with a special time of prayer for those who are apart from God. And we'll keep doing that on Wednesday nights and Sundays for the next few weeks here. So we need to discover, we need to pray, and then we need to work up our self-respect and our courage and allow the Spirit of God to work in us to invite them to church. And we're going to have a special day. Now, you can invite any day, but we're going to have a special invite day, October the 20th. October the 20th, we're going to make that a special invite day. We're going to pray for these folks. We're going to ask God to work in their lives. We're going to pray for them. And then I'm going to ask you on that October the 20th, we're going to all try to invite our people to come and just see what God does. Now, listen, I'm not guaranteeing anything. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what will happen in your life. I don't know what will happen with your one or my one because I am not God. But I know this. We got to do something. It's time for us as God's people to begin to do something, to get our eyes off of ourselves and what we want and our things and things of that nature, and to understand that we are here to be a blessing to others. We have been blessed to bless others. So may we discover someone who needs Jesus. May we commit to pray for them and then invite them. Aren't you glad someone invited you? Aren't you glad someone worked up the courage to share the good news of the gospel with you? I'm certainly glad someone was willing to do that for me. Be willing to plant. Be willing to prepare your hearts. Pray for the harvest and invite them in. Who's your one? Would you bow your heads, please?